Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. The most entertaining 60 minutes of your afternoon is now underway, coming to you live. Here inside of Studio S, as you just heard my man Chayo say, I am your host of WKAR's Current Sports, Al Martin, coming to you live on WKAR AM 870 1051 FM. Or you may be listening via our Facebook page live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News, or maybe even be listening to the podcast version at WKAR.org. We've got a lot to get to on this Friday, as I like to call it. And, you know, I really wanted to talk some sports right off top after our headliners, but there is some new revelations when it comes to Michigan State University, MSU, still reeling from the fallout of the Larry Nassar sexual abuse scandal. MSU is in hot water again this week. The Chronicle of Higher Education revealed previously unpublished emails in which interim president John Engler criticizes lawyers of the assault survivors. Now, the email exchange between Engler and a university official also implied a belief that survivor Rachel Denhollander, who is the Joan of Arc when it comes to putting Larry Nassar behind bars, she was the first survivor to come forth and share her story with Indy Star. Forget this. The email exchange between Engler and a university official also implied a belief that Denhollander will receive a kickback from her lawyer. Yeah, John Engler is just kind of just adding logs to this already flaming fire here at MSU. Our very own Karell Vega, host of All Things Considered, he spoke with Chronicle of Higher Education reporter Jack Stripling, who wrote the article revealing the contents of the emails. We're going to bring that interview to you to leave the show after our headliners. We are also going to give you guys an update on, you know, really the ripple effect of that story, as two MSU trustees have now called for interim president Engler to resign. So buckle up. It should be a very interesting segment A. After that, we hope to get to some kind of sports talk, and we'll actually bring to you an interview with Jaren Jackson Jr., the Michigan State forward phenom who decided to go one and done and take his talents to the National Basketball Association, the NBA draft, taking place next week. Jaren Jackson Jr. is slated to be a top five lottery pick. For our very own dear friend, Deshaun Tate, college basketball sports reporter, host, and producer for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. He covers, of course, the Atlanta Hawks. Deshaun Tate, I tell you what, gotta love Deshaun. He hit me up yesterday and noted that, you know, he snagged an interview inside of the media scrum with Jaren Jackson Jr. as he interviewed, or worked out, I should say, with the Atlanta Hawks. We'll bring that interview and media scrum to you all. You don't want to miss that. We'll also be talking with Deshaun Tate about what Jaren Jackson Jr. had to say and about his workout out in the ATL. And then we will close out things on the back end of the show with Reflection Friday. We'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you all, beautiful people, to be a part of the fun. You can weigh in multiple ways. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKARnews. As I mentioned, the live stream is up and running there. Comment below that video. You can also even join the party and fun via Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. You know what's next, though? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right. In addition to, you know, the news that I just noted at the top of the hour concerning the Chronicle of Higher Education piece revealing, you know, previously unpublished emails in which interim president John Engler criticizes lawyers of the assault survivors of Larry Nassar, there's even more backlash here, seeing as though seven current and former healthcare providers at Michigan State University are under investigation by the State Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs, better known as the LARA, for their actions related to Larry Nassar, the former doctor, MSU doctor, who molested patients. The seven, four physicians, two athletic trainers, and a clinical psychologist have been identified by Nassar victims as people alerted over the years about Nassar's misconduct. Now, Michigan's public health code requires licensed healthcare providers to notify the state if they have, quote, knowledge that another licensee or registrant has committed a violation, end quote, which includes, of course, sexual misconduct. Now, LARA confirmed it has opened investigations on Dr. William Strample, Larry Nassar's former boss, Dr. Jeffrey Kovan, Dr. Douglas Dietzel, Dr. Brooke Lemon, Dr. Gary Stolick, Destiny Treacher-Hawk, and Leanna Haddon. If a violation occurs, the disciplinary subcommittee can issue a fine, suspend the license, revoke the license, place the licensee on probation with terms, and or place a limitation on the licensee. Just bad news coming out of Michigan State University, folks. All right, want to note and I want to congratulate the Eden Rapids softball team for getting as far as it did this year in postseason action. They unfortunately fell in the semis yesterday. A tough one. It was a 2-0 setback to number 3 ranked Escanaba at Michigan State's Sekia Stadium. But again, nonetheless, what a run for the Greyhounds, who reached the state semifinals for just the second time in school history and the first time since 1981. And also, despite having a historic run, the DeWitt baseball team, their season came to an end at the hands of Swan Valley, losing 3-1 in a pitching showdown. Catcher Jace Preston notched the only RBI for DeWitt, with the team only getting 6 hits total. Surprisingly, Swan Valley had less hits with only 2 and still captured the win. All right, the Detroit Tigers got the dub in crucial fashion against AL Central rival the Minnesota Twins yesterday. A 3-run 7th inning led by Jacoby Jones amidst a hitting slump crushing a 2-run big fly that proved to be the deciding factor. Jose Iglesias' speed also helped them, getting his 11th steal of the season, already tying his season record. Starting pitcher Michael Fulmer got the win, and the Tigers are now 33-37 on the year, still floating at second place in the American League Central, trailing behind the Cleveland Indians, the Old English D take on the Chicago White Sox, the Shy Sox, on the road tonight at 8:10 p.m. All right, Jake Neen was threatening to run away with the 101st Michigan Open Championship with seven holes to play in yesterday's final round on the Bear at Grand Traverse Resort and Spa. Now, birdies on the 10th and 11th holes left the White Lake Amateur at 13 under par for the week and seven shots in front of James Holly of Howe. Then the wheels started to fall off. Neen made three straight bogeys beginning at the par 4 12th. He got a stroke back with a birdie at the par 5 15th, but followed with a triple bogey at the par 4 16th. Fortunately for Neen, he closed with two pars, and the big lead allowed him to withstand a late collapse, allowing him to become just the sixth amateur in history to win the state's premier professional tournament. Neen's 3-over-par 75 in the final round led him with a 72-hole total of 8-under-280, good for a two-shot win over Holly, who finished second after a final round of 70. So congratulations to the amateur, Jake Neen, with the win at the Michigan Open. Also, just four golfers found their way under par to open the 2018 U.S. Open. Tough course conditions out there, and now the 156 participants in the field will look to avoid the cut line while hoping for better playing conditions during round two, which began this morning. Will Dustin Johnson, the world's top-ranked golfer, clear favorite, entering the year's second major, remain hot and keep his spot atop the leaderboard as he competes for his second national championship? Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Phil Mickelson, Jordan Spieth, all big names in the world of golf, are all looking to bounce back from disastrous opening rounds, while the 14 golfers within three shots of the four-way leaders will do whatever they can to stay in contention entering the weekend. Dustin Johnson currently 3-under on the day. Everyone else who has at least played one hole, the next best is, 2-over-par. Not a great day out at the U.S. Open. It's really tough. That is one of the toughest courses in the world, let alone our nation. So we'll follow that throughout the weekend and see who makes the cut. Just making the cut will be a victory for a lot of those big names come at the end of this second round. All right, and today begins the rest of the teams playing for the World Cup. One game has already finished, Egypt versus Uruguay, which went in favor of Uruguay 1-0. They won their opening match for the first time since 1970 when they beat Israel. Egypt star Mohamed Salah did not play at all, still dealing with his shoulder injury while still playing for Liverpool. Jose Jimenez, last-minute goal in dramatic fashion, lifted the South American team over Egypt. A notable game to look out for today is the classic neighboring countries rivalry matchup. That is Portugal versus Spain, which will take place as soon as we bid you all adieu at 2 p.m. Former Pro Bowl tight end Kellen Winslow Jr. has been arrested for the second time in 8 days. The San Diego County Sheriff's Department confirmed in a press release, troubling stuff here, that Winslow was arrested yesterday afternoon on an outstanding arrest warrant. He faces 9 total charges, including 2 counts of rape, 2 counts of kidnapping with the intent to commit rape, 1 count of forcible sodomy, and 2 counts of residential burglary, among others. Now, Winslow was booked into a Vista detention facility a little after 8 p.m. last night. According to online records, he was scheduled to be arraigned in North County Superior Court today. And also NBC7 in San Diego, it's being reported from Lieutenant Michael Blevins that there were multiple alleged victims associated with the charges, but would not say how many. No other details of the incidents have been released. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can weigh in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Many of you watching right now, what's up, Ben, Chris, Jess, Johnny, Alex? Thanks so much for watching the live stream there. Also, tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR underscore sports.
Let me see you go back. Let me see you come in. Now let me see you go back. Let me see you come in. Let me see you go back. Let me see you come in. Let me see you go back. Let me see you come in. Yeah.
It's Friday and I'm ready to swing. Pick up my girls and hit the party scene.
Shout out to D-Town, Detroit stand up. Rest in peace to the princess known as Aaliyah, a.k.a. Baby Girl. We miss her. One of my favorite Friday joints there. Happy Friday to you all. Happy Friday is what I like to call it. Wanted to start off the show here in segment A just on a light note, wishing you all a good start to your weekend. I know you probably got, what, 3 more hours at least on that 9 to 5, all right? You're almost there. Then the weekend begins. Ian Hawley, the man behind the class, current sports engineer. You got anything fun planned for this weekend, Ian?
Yes, sir. It's Father's Day on Sunday. I'll be going home this weekend and visiting my family. My father had reconstructive knee surgery a few weeks ago, so he's been out of commission for a while. So I know he's looking forward to a little family action.
That's great stuff, man. Happy Father's Day to your dad and any of the pioneers who are men in your life, Ian. And
thank you. Anybody, you as well.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, man. Happy Father's Day to my stepdad and my father as well. And to all the fathers out there listening, happy Father's Day. And, you know, the show before Father's Day weekend, I always have and encourage our callers out there to call in. Give your pops a shout out. You know, give your pops a shout out. Say happy Father's Day to your dad out there. 517-355-WKAR. Or you can comment below on our Facebook page during the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. So happy Father's Day to all of the dads out there listening. Technically, I'm a dad. My pup, you know, I have to take care of my daughter, who's my pup, my dog, right? That count? Does that count?
Maybe your dog will take you for a walk for once.
Exactly, right? Yeah, maybe my little Morky will treat me this Sunday, right? Going to be a fun weekend for me. I'm actually, I want to give a big shout out also to my fraternity brother and my sister, Justin and Shaughnessy, who are getting married tomorrow. I'll be in Detroit for that. And also the Emmys are that same day. The Emmys are tomorrow night. I, myself, along with some incredible colleagues I work with here. I have the privilege of working with here at WKAR. We are we got 12 nominations for WKAR, 12 Emmy nominations.
That's fantastic. Really cool. Congratulations.
Definitely. And I'm in a category. I got nominated for sports reporting talent with Trevor Thompson. Also, Justin Rosen is in that category as well. And the young woman who's also nominated, the name eludes me right now, but should be a great time. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow. All right. We go from that to now a dark story. It, as many of you know, it's just been a really troubling past year, now more than a year, here at Michigan State University. It seems as though, you know, every week we are reading another troubling story that has to do with the Larry Nassar scandal and the aftermath of that scandal, how the university is trying to heal from this. I don't really know if the healing process has truly begun for the university, especially when you look at the leadership or lack thereof that is in place right now, constantly dropping the ball in leading this university to the light. And this week, another story has broken. And in just a moment, I'm going to play an interview from our very own Karell Vega, who got the chance yesterday to speak with a reporter from the Chronicle of Higher Education by the name of Jack Stribling, who reported on a story in which interim president John Engler criticizes lawyers of the assault survivors via email. Now, the email exchange between Engler and a university official implied a belief that survivor Rachel Denhollander would receive a kickback from her lawyer. Before I play that interview, I want to give you all an update when it comes to the ripple effect from that story, as two Michigan State University trustees have now called for interim MSU president John Engler to resign. Our very own Scott Pohl has that update.
For WKAR News, I'm Scott Pohl. Michigan State University trustee Brian Musalem today became the first of eight trustees to call on interim MSU president John Engler to resign. Fellow trustee Diane Byram has become the second. In a statement, Musalem points to the recent release of emails in which Engler insinuates that Rachel Denhollander, a survivor of Larry Nassar's sexual abuse, might be taking kickbacks from lawyers involved in lawsuits against the university. In calling for Engler to step down, Musalem says, "We need leadership that sets a tone of empathy and compassion towards our courageous survivors and re-embraces them as important members of our Spartan community. John Engler simply can no longer do that." The Lansing State Journal reports that trustee Diane Byram has concluded that Engler is no longer the right person to lead MSU during this difficult period. She calls on Engler to apologize for his remarks about Denhollander, and he has not done so. Trustee Dan Kelly tells the Detroit News that he disagrees with Musalem and Byram. Kelly says the university needs some stability. President Engler issued a statement touting the successful negotiation of a settlement with Nassar survivors and continuing efforts to strengthen sexual misconduct prevention on and off campus. He adds that he looks forward to next week's trustees meeting, where, in his words, "We will continue our progress and efforts to move forward. I believe actions matter, and that is how the success of our work will be determined." This is Scott Pohl.
Thank you, Scott, for that update. Again, Michigan State University trustee Diane Byram has added her voice to calls for interim MSU president John Engler to resign. MSU trustee Brian Musalem was the first of eight trustees to call on interim MSU president John Engler to resign. So you have that update, and you know, this is really coming from the ripple effect that is, again, this story published by the Chronicle of Higher Education, written by Jack Stribling, entitled "Michigan State Chief Said Abuse Victim Would Get Kickback for Stirring Up Survivors Emails Show." Our very own Karell Vega got the chance to chat with Jack Stribling about the piece.
For WKAR News, I'm Karell Vega. Still reeling from the fallout of the Larry Nassar sexual abuse scandal, Michigan State University is in hot water again this week after the Chronicle of Higher Education revealed previously unpublished emails in which interim president John Engler criticizes lawyers of the assault survivors. The email exchange between Engler and a university official also implied a belief that survivor Rachel Denhollander would receive a kickback from her lawyer. To learn more, I'm joined via Skype by Chronicle of Higher Education reporter Jack Stribling, who wrote the article revealing the contents of the emails. Thanks for speaking with me, Jack.
Happy to be here.
So how did the Chronicle obtain Engler's emails?
So about 2 months ago, we filed a public records request from Michigan State University. We were looking at a very finite period of time in mid-April. We thought it might create some rich discussion and dialogue. Some of your listeners may remember that this was around the time that Carol Viventi, who's a vice president and special counsel to John Engler, the interim president of Michigan State, had sent out an email that ended up leaked to the media, where she was very critical of a young woman who is an abuse survivor, Kaylee Lorenz, who had made an explosive allegation in a public board meeting, saying that she'd had a private meeting with John Engler, wherein he had tried to effectively pay her off so that she would drop her legal settlement or her legal case against the university. And this was considered particularly inappropriate because her lawyer wasn't present. So that email did leak out to the media already. We were looking for what the fallout from that was and what kind of exchange was had during that period of time. And pardon me, there's an ambulance passing us in Washington, D.C. right now.
That's not a problem. Jack, let's go through what a few of the emails released this week said. What stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the most inflammatory piece of information here is what you said in your lead-in, which is that John Engler, the interim president, was commiserating with Carol Viventi, the woman I mentioned before, about how he had effectively been attacked in this board meeting. He had been accused of something that they thought was not true. It wasn't their interpretation that he'd done anything inappropriate in there. But he goes off on this tangent about trial lawyers and how the trial lawyers representing these women are really the ones who are going to make out like bandits in this case. And I think what really got him trouble was going a little further and saying, and beyond that, Rachel Den Hollander is the one who's going to get kickbacks from her lawyer for stirring up these survivors. The real problem with this is this plays into this narrative that Engler is in some sort of adversarial relationship with abuse survivors at the university. I mean, it's inexplicable, but it continues to happen over and over again. And even though this is old, it does more to solidify that narrative in the minds of his critics.
I'm speaking with Chronicle of Higher Education reporter Jack Stripling about emails released this week that showed interim MSU president John Engler criticizing the lawyers representing Larry Nassar's abuse survivors. Interim President Engler received some pretty immediate criticism following the release of these emails, most notably, I think, from Rachel Den Hollander. Now, has there been any comment from MSU?
They have not, and we've reached out to them yesterday. They had plenty of advance notice that we were going to run with this. They didn't want to submit a comment to it. You know, I've talked to a couple of trustees. Brian Mosselem is quoted in my story, and he's been widely quoted as saying that, you know, John Engler needs to think long and hard about whether he's the right person for this job. You know, candidly speaking, I don't see Engler's job threatened by these revelations. You know, my feeling, and it's not a completely informed report here, but my feeling is if this guy was going to get fired, it would have already happened. I mean, this is sort of just more ammunition for people who think he's the wrong guy for the job.
In response following the release of these emails, Rachel Den Hollander was quoted as saying she truly pities John Engler. Quote, what a sad way to live, she said. Has there been any other reaction from Nassar's abuse survivors?
You know, I've seen a lot of activity on Twitter. I cover higher education for a living, and I know that people get mad at college presidents, but this is the first time I've seen the words human garbage used so much online. People are really upset about this. You know, one element here that I don't think has gotten enough attention, quite frankly, is deeper in our story. And if you want me to discuss it, I can.
Absolutely.
So, you know, part of what has plagued Michigan State University is messaging, right? And how do we, when we have these difficult moments, how does the university respond? One of the things that came up in our FOIA request or our public records request was the crafting of a potential statement in response to Carol Viventi's initial statement. So Viventi had put out this, you know, inflammatory statement about Kaylee Lorenz that was seen as disparaging survivors. And clearly the university felt that it needed to respond. So they were trying to craft, you know, effectively a press release that I think would have apologized for what Viventi had written. Viventi sees that they're doing this and chimes in, hey, by the way, just so you know, if anyone were ever to subpoena John Engler's emails, he's already congratulated me for saying this. He's already praised me for what I said. You know, my reading of this is that, and I can't say this for certain because they redacted portions of this, but my reading of this is that they were putting together a release where John Engler was probably going to condemn this statement from Viventi. And she's coming in and saying, whoa, don't do that. John likes what I said. And if anybody ever subpoenaed these materials, they'd know that. So, you know, this really gets into the inside baseball at the university that is just constantly putting out fires, and is constantly in a position again where it appears that the administration, for whatever reason, is at war with survivors of abuse.
Now, Jack, on that note, in your last interview with WKAR, you told us how President Engler's tenure as an interim president really hasn't smoothed the water at MSU. Could this latest revelation harm efforts to bring in a new president?
You know, I mean, you know, it's what I've said before is that the job of an interim president, sort of job one, is to stabilize the institution. I mean, this is a new person who comes in, who's theoretically unburdened by the baggage of his predecessors, and he gets to turn the page so that when the new, you know, when the permanent president comes in, this is kind of dealt with. You're going to have a new permanent president coming in who's still going to have to be this stabilizing person, which is a different role. It's a more challenging role. I still think this is a plum job. Look, this is a major research university. It's got a vociferous alumni base. It's a great place to raise money. It's a great place to watch sports. This is still going to be a job that people are attracted to. But this is a mess, and it didn't have to be this bad for sure.
I've been speaking with Chronicle of Higher Education reporter Jack Stripling about emails released this week showing interim MSU President John Engler criticizing the lawyers representing Larry Nassar's abuse survivors. Jack, how can people read your work?
So you can find me at Jack Stripling, STRIPLING, on Twitter, or you can always get our work at Chronicle on Twitter. That's probably the best way to find us.
Jack, thank you for speaking with me today.
Thank you.
For WKAR News, I'm Karel Vega.
We want to hear from you. After taking that interview in between Jack Stripling and our very own Karel Vega and hearing the details of what is being reported in the Chronicle of Higher Education, what are your thoughts on Interim President John Engler? What are your thoughts on now two Michigan State trustees in Diane Byram and Brian Masalim calling for the job of Interim President John Engler? What are your thoughts on the state of this university right now? Every week, it seems as though we are talking about another troubling story in this very sad, beyond sad chapter of the Larry Nassar scandal. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Also, go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Many of your comments already rolling in there. I'll get to a few of those after our first break. And you can also tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports. And you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Or take your calls, read your comments on the other side. Also, we will be inviting to the show Deshaun Tate, college basketball sports reporter, host, and producer for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. You'll hear from Jaren Jackson Jr., who had a workout with the Atlanta Hawks this week. Don't miss that and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just put a bow on segment A, where again, we have brought to you news from the Chronicle of Higher Education. Reporter Jack Stribling reporting on Interim President John Engler here at MSU, criticizing lawyers of the Larry Nassar assault survivors. The email exchange between Engler and a university official implied a belief that survivor Rachel Den Hollander as well would receive a kickback from her lawyer. And since that report, we have now seen two
Michigan State University trustees in Diane Byram and Brian Masalim now call for the job of John Engler. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We also have many comments coming via our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Ben chimes in and says he says, quote, whoever hired Engler is sick in the head in their own right. He goes on to say, why does the university keep trying to sweep this under the rug and act like nothing ever happened? Chris says it is time to clean house. Also, another comment here, the Board of Trustees needs to be redone. So many Michigan State alum, many of those who love this great university, not happy, obviously, with the leadership in the, or lack thereof that we are currently seeing here in East Lansing. So, again, we'll continue to take your comments. We'll get a few more as the hour proceeds here. Again, you can call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. What should happen as it pertains to John Engler as interim president in light of this very troubling report coming from the Chronicle of Higher Education? While you all are continuing to weigh in on that, I want to shift gears right now, and I want to roll in the interview courtesy of our dear friend from CBS Radio down in Atlanta, Deshaun Tate, college basketball sports reporter, host, and producer for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. Deshaun got the chance to pick the brain, along with other reporters in a media scrum, pick the brain of Jaren Jackson Jr., who has now gone one and done with the Michigan State men's basketball team. He is a highly touted prospect, and I see Jaren going in the top five in many NBA mock drafts floating around on the internet right now. He really impressed during his workout with the Phoenix Suns. Many teams rumored to possibly be interested in moving up, trading up to snag Jaren Jackson Jr. So Jackson Jr. has been working out with a lot of teams out there in the NBA. And again, I mentioned, you know, his stellar workout with the Suns. This week, he got the opportunity to head to Deshaun Tate's camp, the camp of the Atlanta Hawks, and work out for the Atlanta Hawks. And here's a bit of what Jaren Jackson Jr. had to say.
Coming from Michigan State, you know, you all play team ball. And now coming into the NBA, the style more fits your game. How excited are you to show your potential and what you have?
I'm very excited. You know, it kind of right timing, you know, the way the game's going, the way my game kind of relates to it. So I'm blessed for that, and just I'm excited.
Are you better suited or consider yourself more as a stretch four or at the five position, you think?
Either. It's whatever team needs.
How would you do you think that you would fit in with the Hawks' current roster, especially considering John Collins alongside because of the both guys?
Yeah, I think I compliment, you know, all those guys really well. They, you know, they got a lot of big guys who can do a lot of multiple things on the court. You know, AP, they got a bunch of guys. So I think just doing kind of what they're doing and trying to, you know, expand my game as well can compliment theirs as well.
Got some foul trouble in Michigan State. What do you think are some of the factors around that? How do you think you can kind of improve in playing defense without fouling?
Yeah, just making sure I don't, you know, gamble for all the, you know, don't try to block everything. You know, got to understand that you can, like, make somebody miss without blocking it. You know, don't go over somebody's back, stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of them were offensive, so being more under control when I drive and just learn not to get them. You know, we get six now, so that's better, but yeah, just probably not want to get that too early.
How's the draft process been? Are you excited for it to be over, or have you enjoyed this so far?
Oh, no, it's been fun. You know, you only get drafted once, so you can't really, like, be excited for it to be over. You kind of just want to keep going because it's like a whirlwind, you know. There's a bunch of stuff going on, but it's been really exciting. I'm really looking forward to the draft.
Do you still feel like you could add some weight and strength and still maintain your athleticism?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know how to. Yes.
Is that a goal of yours to gain weight?
Yeah, just, you know, not necessarily like gain weight, like, just as a blunt term, but maybe just play stronger, you know, get stronger, so get to a weight where I can be mobile and be able to move around as well as play strong.
How do you approach this draft process, knowing that you're used to picking the teams you want to go to? Now you have to wait on the team that picks you.
I think it's more fun that way, because, you know, before it was like, you know, you got to do all this thinking and strategic moves, and you know, there's a lot of that too, but not as much as, like, you know, picking a college or picking a high school. But, you know, if I was picking an NBA team, it would be the same as before. I probably would make a great decision again, because, you know, State was great.
The team has a brand new coach in Lloyd Pierce. How much do you know about him and just this roster as a whole? Have you had a chance to think on interaction or anything with him?
I mean, you know, definitely, you know, after interacting, you kind of just learn more every time you talk to him. You're just, you know, watching the guys, you're not here that long, so you don't really get everything, but you learn about play style, you learn how you would fit, you learn how they play, you learn about their plays, and all that kind of helps you get, you know, more comfortable when you're on your visits.
You know, whether it's been, you know, Miles or Izzo or just anybody, whomever, what's the most key, I guess, advice that you've kind of gotten about this process and embracing it?
I'd probably say don't, like, stress yourself over it, you know, have fun with it, but, you know, take it seriously and, you know, find that balance where you're not letting it, you know, affect you in a negative way, but you're also, you know, enjoying the process as well, getting better all the time.
One big aspect of a big man playing in the NBA is decision-making with the ball, you know, passing it, and et cetera. Where do you think you're at with that in your stage of your game?
Well, I always can improve it. I think I'm, in terms of decision-making, I think I see the floor pretty well. If I can catch it and make reads and make good decisions with it, definitely I want to improve, like, the delivery, you know, definitely improve the passing, you know. I thought, like, at State, like, I had some turnovers that, you know, I didn't have to have, you know, where I could deliver it better, but I see it, so I think just making sure that pass is better.
3-point line's a little longer than NBA. I'm assuming you've been shooting a lot of them now. Only those. How's that been going for you?
It's been great. You know, yeah. I just take a step back and try to get it up, you know.
It was a tough decision from what I've heard for you to decide to declare and not return back. Mm-hmm. Take us through that process a little bit and what ultimately helped you make that decision.
Just, you know, emotionally, you're attached to, you know, what's comfortable, which was, you know, Michigan State for me. You know, it's what I loved. It's, you know, it's where home was for, you know, it's where it was. And you're around all the fans and you're around everybody. You just feel that all the time. And it was great to be around that. And, but, you know, after talking, my teammates really helped me get the confidence to make that decision, because, you know, they thought I was ready and coach thought I was ready. And I thought I was ready, but I definitely wanted to stay, you know, just to be around my teammates and play again and all that stuff. But I definitely think I made the right decision for me and, you know, my family, and they supported me on it, which was the only thing I wanted. It was just their support, and, you know, they were going to support me either way.
Any plans on what you're going to wear?
And draft? Yeah. I'm not going to, like, say it, so, like, wait.
I mean, you already know.
Oh, yeah, it's planned. It's premeditated. I definitely wasn't going to wing it. Okay. You got to do it.
So do you, you and your father, do y'all have, like, any shooting contests, see who shoots the best between you all? who usually wins?
Me. I win now, but, like, back then it was him, because he was always, you know, Chief gets a little older, and we give him shots in.
Right. How do you like this facility?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even, because this has, like, two courts. It kind of looks like, you know, in 2K when you first joined the team, it was, like, two courts. It was crazy. It's, like, bright lights. Everything's glistening. You know, the courts all sticky. Everything's great. So
I like the 2K reference. Actually, I just got 2K18, Ian Hawley, and I can't stop playing it right now. And
I'm
pretty good. I'm pretty good at it, too. So if you're trying to challenge your boy on Xbox, holla at me. All right?
I'll come at you with the heat check. Don't worry.
I hear you. I want to give a big shout out to our dear friend of the show, Deshaun Tate, for sharing that piece. Deshaun Tate, college basketball sports reporter, host and producer for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. Did a great job with getting that piece to us, and he didn't have to do that. So I want to express a word of thanks to Deshaun for allowing us to run that here on today's Current Sports. And we actually have Deshaun on line one to talk about and elaborate further on what you just heard. Again, Jaren Jackson Jr., working out this week with the Atlanta Hawks, the reviews when it comes to Jaren's workouts, specifically the Phoenix Suns workout. The reviews have been off the charts for this young man who has decided to go one and done, leave Michigan State after his freshman campaign, and take his talents to the NBA. Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio down in the ATL. Deshaun, how you doing? And again, thanks so much, my friend.
Oh, of course, man. You know, that sounds like a Tate's Take production, man. I really appreciate the acknowledgement, but, you know, you've been doing this thing a long time, as I have, man, and so you know that this kind of stuff only happens, man, when you believe in teamwork, and we got to kind of stick together, so you're certainly welcome. That's the least I can do since I wasn't able to get the steak to you as fast as I would have liked, but I wasn't able to see the actual workout itself. Mm-hmm. That was kind of closed off, whatnot, to the front office positions of people within the front office there for the Hawks and the NBA. But just from the things that I've gathered in general from the interview, I will say this much. You know, the Hawks have brought in everyone from, you know, Trayvon Duval and Marvin Bagley, you know, obviously Jaren Jackson and Mo Bamba. I mean, so many guys, Trey Young, so many guys, but it seems that Jaren Jackson, to me, has just the brightest personality. And, of course, he's a phenomenal basketball talent. Of course, everyone knows that. But the outstanding, outgoing personality that he has is second to none of everybody that I've had an opportunity to come, you know, kind of face-to-face and interview with that's going to be millionaires in about 5 days, just to be honest with you. But I think that speaks volume. And another thing that I took away from that interview was that he has really considered, and I think he really means this genuinely, he doesn't owe it to anybody to just say it. You know, he genuinely really wanted to come back to Michigan State, you know. And I think that that's something that Spartan fans, a lot of people up there in your region, kind of have, you know, kind of taken for granted. You know, after discussing it, we know he discussed it with his family and Tom Izzo and Miles Bridges, obviously. But that just kind of speaks volume for the kind of program that Michigan State has, even after they went through the kind of stuff that they have earlier this season. Those are just a couple of the takeaways outside of his basketball game.
Definitely. So Jaren, you believe he stated that he wanted to come back for his sophomore year?
Yeah, well, I mean, he definitely seriously considered it. I'll say that
right.
Much. I mean, I don't think any of us would have realistically been in his shoes, and everything that that went on and with his talent and so on and so forth would have even probably considered that much as I think he did of coming back to return for an extra season. Most people just thought that he was gone and that's just what it is and that's what it was going to be. Mm. I think that it speaks volume to the Michigan State basketball program, to me personally.
Yeah, that he pondered it for that long and really gave
Correct.
A lot of thought. But again, in my opinion, and we've talked about this multiple times, Deshaun, anytime you are a lottery pick, even a top five pick, rumored to be a top five pick in Jaren Jackson Jr., you got to go. Now, when it comes to these workouts, Deshaun, again, you noted how you didn't see it, but when talking with those who did see Jaren Jackson Jr. workout there for the Hawks organization and reading all of these different reviews about how Jaren is really impressing, and you brought up his personality. I mean, that is something that really struck me when Jaren, you know, came in straight out of high school to Michigan State and we had media day with him. It's like, you know, he had been talking with reporters since he popped out of the womb. I mean, he was so charismatic and so inviting when you do chat with him and interview him. So I'm not shocked that, you know, NBA guys are looking at him saying, wow, this dude has just a great personality, a magnetic personality. But when it comes to the intangibles of his workouts, what is really turning the heads of those NBA scouts and coaches and other personnel that really make him a high draft pick?
Well, first of all, it's kind of hard to evaluate a lot of these guys because they're realistically only getting about 30 to 45 minutes max of a workout, and I don't think that it's anything overly strenuous, mm-hmm. but they just kind of want to get a really good feel of what you're able to do, where you're not able to do, your strong points, your weaknesses, and so on and so forth, agility and just different things like that, how you react to different, you know, basketball moves and stuff like that. But I think for the most part, at least in terms of Jaren Jackson, maybe not so much Mo Bamba and a couple others, but, you know, things that they already knew. They knew that he could stretch, you know, the defenses with his outside shooting ability and things of that nature. And just kind of getting stronger and just mobility and things like that. I mean, I think that they were a little surprised by his IQ in some cases, and not that anyone thought that his IQ was necessarily not up to par or up to a certain level, but more so the fact that, you know, once you get an opportunity to interact with a guy and see him in person, you kind of get a chance to see how he reacts to different things. Certainly his outside shooting ability and what they would actually need in the event that they did draft Jaren Jackson, I would imagine that the number three draft pick, how he works with John Collins, who has been an exceptional part, second team, all rookie team in the NBA, who doesn't have the ability to stretch out the defenses with his jump shooting ability. And because Jaren has the opportunity to do that and maybe play two positions between the four and the five up front alongside of Collins, I think that that's something that they're really impressed with.
Yeah, and you know, you look at Jaren Jackson. I mean, we're talking about a young man who's just 18 years old, Deshaun. He'll almost certainly be the youngest player taken in the first round, and he has so much room to grow. 6'11", 240 pounds. He's projected as either a modern four or a hybrid five. He's also scheduled a visit with the Dallas Mavericks as well for a workout. The Mavs, of course, sitting in that number five slot. Do you think that Jaren Jackson Jr. is a player that, when drafted, Deshaun, is going to make an immediate impact, not sent to the G League, but coming to make an immediate impact on whatever roster he's drafted to with the lottery pick?
I think he will. I mean, depending on, you know, what's around him and the situation within what organization they have and who's on what rosters and things of that nature. But as we saw this year, like playing at Michigan State, maybe they didn't have the most talent, but Michigan State was pretty front court heavy this year, and the way that he was able to kind of work himself, not just within the rotation itself, but more so because of the fact that, you know, he has the talent and he just has the drive. You know, he's going out there and just putting his best foot forward and just not really coming in there with too many expectations, or maybe not necessarily putting too much pressure upon himself. I think that that's something that's big. And you talk about him working out for the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, everybody's talking about DeAndre Ayton being the number one pick, and I'm definitely not here to say that he won't be the number one pick, or even as if they will take Jaren Jackson. I'm definitely not saying that, but the Phoenix worked him out and said that they loved him. You know, I mean, it was a phenomenal, phenomenal workout. I would imagine that the Atlanta Hawks, you know, felt the same way, and any organization is going to feel the same way when they work him out. But it's just as far as what he's able to do coming right in. I just think that that's the type of player that he is. I don't even think it's about him just being so good. I think the effort that he's willing to put forth, no matter what city he lands in and what team picks him up on Thursday night, he's going to come in there and he's going to be willing to produce right away. Definitely something that I cannot say about every single player that's going to be selected in the lottery.
That's very true. And, you know, I briefly want to ask you also about the draft stock of Miles Bridges. I've been glued to his Instagram feed as well, as he's been working out with multiple teams these past few weeks. Again, the NBA draft will take place next week, Thursday. Always a fun night watching the NBA draft. But, you know, when saying all of that about Jaren Jackson Jr., I'm curious, Deshaun, has he shifted at all when it comes to your mock draft?
Has he done what?
Has he shifted at all when it comes to your mock draft? I mean, because I can't remember when we had you on, and we did kind of a mini mock draft with you for like the sure, first 20 picks. I can't remember sure where you had Jaren Jackson Jr. going. But when reading these reviews from him, has he shifted at all on your board?
No, not really. I mean, I had him slotted at four to Memphis alongside Gasol and Deontay Davis and a couple of the other front court players. But realistically, I mean, I think that he's anywhere between three and five. I don't think he slips beyond five, quite honest with you. I mean, I think things just kind of depends on guys like Luka Doncic, who seems to be, you know, kind of falling down a little bit. And I mean, Sacramento, there's been so many talks about what they might do between Doncic and Marvin Bagley III, and even now people are talking about Michael Porter Jr. I mean, things, and so much of that is going to change, has changed from when we talked, changed from last week all the way up till now, and it's going to change between now and Thursday, and that's how it is every year. But I think realistically, anywhere between 3 and 5 is where you'll see Jaren Jackson selected, and I think it's in Atlanta Hawks' best interest to pick him at 3 if Marvin Bagley and DeAndre Ayton have already been selected. But if not, I like to think that he'll either be number 4 or certainly number 5 in worst case scenario, if there's a such thing.
Okay, and real briefly, Deshaun, before we let you go, my man, we got a minute left here. What are you hearing about Miles Bridges and the workouts he's been having?
Not a whole lot circulating around Miles Bridges. I mean, I think that there is a lot of conversation about him below 9, more or less 10 to Philly or potentially, you know, Charlotte at 11. And I think worst case scenario, I think at number 12 to the Los Angeles Clippers. Not a whole lot of circulating how well that he's been doing necessarily, but I would only imagine as a Spartan naturally, you know, the kind of work ethic that he'd be willing to put forward and just his talent overall, I think that he'll certainly be right up in that range. I couldn't possibly see him slipping outside of the lottery. If that happens some way, somehow, which I highly, highly doubt, then he'll probably be in contention for or conversation for the biggest steal in the draft.
Deshaun Tate, he is the man, college basketball sports reporter, host, and producer for CBS Radio in Atlanta. Deshaun, we got to get you back next week as we talk all things NBA drafts. How's that sound?
Hey, sounds good. Looking forward to it, man. I'll be out there at the draft. I'm leaving on Wednesday. I'll be out there at the draft. A lot of good summer league stuff coming up at Tate's Take Sports on the Twitter, man, as well as on Instagram. And TateTakeSports.com kind of taking off now. Finally made it public, man. So you're going to find a lot of good interviews from a lot of good different players on there. That'll be coming up within the next week, definitely by the time the draft kicks. Thanks, Al.
That's great stuff. We'll be sure to link you know, to your social media pages and your website when we post the podcast version. Thanks so much, Deshaun.
Perfect. Thanks, Al. Appreciate it.
All right. We got, wow, literally, what, 90 seconds left here, Ian. Let's just kick it with the Reflection Friday music right now. All right, Reflection Friday here as we approach the final minute here on this week of WKAR's current sports. Probably, you know, reflecting on the week, the most memorable moment for me, Ian, is, gosh, there's so many ways I can go, but I really loved having DeAndre Carter in yesterday, motivational speaker and author, discussing the MJ and LeBron situation.
He was fantastic.
His take on the NBA Finals. He's fantastic stuff. Also, before we bid our listeners adieu, can you give us an update on any World Cup news and anything pertaining to, of course, the U.S. Open?
Yes, sir. So Dustin Johnson still leads the U.S. Open. He's finished for the day. He shot a 3-under today to bring him to 4-under for the tournament. And as far as World Cup news goes, Iran has defeated Morocco in the second match of the day, 1-0. Spain and Portugal here to start in 45 seconds.
Great stuff. Thank you so much, Ian. Dustin Johnson, the only golfer under par. The U.S. Open, it just eats you up and chews you and just spits you out. It's crazy. All right, we'll see you Monday, folks. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening, and be easy, people.